Last week in Huntersville, a pastor went to visit a woman who was a member of his congregation. He rang the doorbell, and her son Billy came to the door. And the pastor said, "Hi, Billy. What are you doing on this beautiful afternoon?" Billy said, "I'm practicing the piano." The pastor said, "Well, actually, I'm here to see your mother. By any chance, is she home?" Billy looked at the pastor, rolled his eyes, and said, "Pastor, I told you I'm practicing piano. What's your best guess?" Too often our lives are like that. We have the opportunity for our lives to give beautiful music to the world, for beautiful music to live in us, but something in us gets in the way. We say, "Well, this is too difficult or too onerous," or for whatever reason, we don't embrace the music that could have been ours. And we wake up years later and say, "What happened to the beautiful music my life could have been? The beautiful music I could have given to the people in my life?" It is that uneasiness that underlies the question that some of you have asked for Jesus to answer today. The question is, how can I always have a passionate heart? A passionate heart, filled with excitement and energy, fully devoted to some significant purpose in my life. Well, because we're asking Jesus the question, his version of what a passionate life looks like is like Miss Clara, those of you who remember in War Room. Her life just glows with the life and the love of Jesus Christ. As Paul puts it in his letter to the Romans, "Love deeply. Keep your flame burning and never fail in your zeal to do good for the Lord." Well, today, Jesus wants to show us the path to the power to always have a passionate heart full of excitement and energy and devotion to the life we lead. He does this in just a few verses from the 4th and 5th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus just started his ministry, and in the Gospel of Matthew, he starts in Capernaum, which significantly is a district which is run basically by Gentiles, unbelievers, in other words, in the eyes of Jesus, people who live in darkness. Jesus is ready to fulfill the prophecies, especially that of Isaiah, of who is he to be. He begins in Matthew with a sermon. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. And he starts the sermon with what we call the Beatitudes, blessings for what your life can be like if you give your life to God and live in his way and live by his purposes. Jesus finishes laying out the blessings, and then he turns to his disciples then and now and lays out for us how it is that you can have a passionate heart always, a life filled with passion for life. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus went to Capernaum to fulfill the words of Isaiah. "The people who live in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in the shadow of death, a light will rise like the dawn." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon and Peter, and had Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus declared to those who follow him, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can anything be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." "You," Jesus says, "you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Every day, God gives you 86,400 seconds. Whether those 86,400 seconds, or some of them, reflect a life overflowing with passion depends on how we use that gift. Well, Jesus gives us a gift for those 86,400 seconds each day that will give us a passionate heart. Here's what he says: "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that people will see the good in you, and they will come to glorify God." Now, it is true you're sitting there saying, I thought Jesus said he is the light of the world. Well, he is. But now Jesus takes that light and gives it to each of those who claim to follow him. Now Jesus gives his light to us. As the gospel says, what this light means is to give the love of Jesus, to lift up his word that guides our lives, and to give him the promise of eternal life. That is the light that he calls us to give to the world. Now, we can choose, Jesus says, to put our light under a bowl. And when we do that, we can just choose to live in darkness ourselves, and we can be the source of darkness to all the people around us. That's your choice, Jesus said. But I ask you, if you got a flame, which it would have been in Jesus' time, a little fire burning there, and you put a bowl over it, what's eventually going to happen? Going to die. That's what happens, my friends, when we do not go out and be the light of Jesus to the world. That burning flame in us that he gives us, it dies. In us. And to the people in the path around us. If you're sitting here this morning and saying, Pastor, I don't have a passionate heart. That's the reason why. Jesus has given you this precious gift of light, and you put it under a bowl. And it's dying right now. It might even be dead. Or we can choose to take away that bowl and let that light begin to shine in the world. Let the light of and the love of Jesus shine in us and light up our lives and light the lives that Jesus puts in our path. My friend, I hope you will do this because here's what happens. I want you to think about this man who was a workman in the early days of television. He was putting a television tower on the top of the Empire State Building, and a reporter saw this going on and said, you know, when he comes down from there, this might be an interesting story. So he went to the workman and he said, so isn't it scary to be up there working that great height? The workman said, yeah, it's scary. But I wake up every day excited about what the day offers to me because how many people get the chance to light the skyline of a great city and to be part of bringing light from all over the world into someone's home? Don't miss this, folks. You and I have been given the chance to light up someone's life that otherwise is going to live in darkness. Perhaps it's someone who lives in your home. Perhaps it's someone who lives next door. Someone living in darkness, you have the chance to light up their life. And when we see that opportunity, my friends, that's when our heart glows with passion. I know this because this is the greatest gift in a way that you've given to me. Because that's what I pray for and I hope I give to you. And every day, my friends, I wake up saying, today, Jesus, there's somebody out there that you need, that needs your light, and you're going to use me to give it. That sets your heart on fire. Yet, passion hearts don't always glow overnight. Passion in our hearts begins to grow when we see how much the world needs the light of Jesus to pierce the darkness one person at a time. There is so much darkness in our world, broken marriages, broken families, broken teenagers, broken children. You don't believe that last part? You talk to Linda Dwyer as the guardian ad litem. She sees a courtroom full of broken families, broken marriages, broken teenagers, broken children. Those are just the ones that end up in court. We see so much darkness of broken lives with disease and disappointment, dreams deferred or lost, despair, loneliness, and addictions to deal with one or all of the above. So many of our hearts, though, despite that darkness, fail to glow with passion because we see, well, actually we don't see. See, what happens, we get so busy with our lives, we're so myopic, we just self-focus on ourselves, we don't even see the darkness. We drive by it every day, we sit with people in here in darkness, and we don't see it because we're so focused on me. Or we see the darkness and we say, it's too much. Too much darkness, too dark. I can't change the world, Jesus. But Jesus doesn't ask you to change the world. Jesus is the perfect model of a passionate heart. And the way he serves is to see the people who hurt, the people who are in darkness. He always stopped right in the middle of whatever he was doing to speak to their darkness. And he always spoke to them one by one. Jesus never had an altar call. That's all. Come on now. No, no. Jesus says, Sally, what's going on in your life? Can I heal you? One on one. You see, Jesus not call us to be all things to all people. Do you think you can do that? If you don't think you can do that, you'd be a pastor and say, I can be all things to all people. No, that's not happening. What Jesus does call us to do, however, is to be the light for someone who is trapped in darkness. That one person. And then to shine that light so you can lead them out of the darkness into the marvelous life of Jesus, feeling His love and being guided by His Word and knowing that when we live this life, we live in heaven with Him forever. Wow! That is exciting. This came home to Sally and me, though, about this darkness almost 2 years ago in a few weeks. When we spent 2 weeks plus one more on the 11B at CMC. That floor was full of women. Every room, a woman with cancer. That was disturbing. But far more disturbing than that was the people who faced it alone. That really came home to us, as I shared with you 2 years ago. But I'm not sure whether it stuck. I want you to hear it again. Sally came back for another tour. So she goes back, and all the rooms are booked. Except for one. So we go in this room, and there are bars all over the window. But because you're a pastor, they tell you all this confidential stuff you're not supposed to know. They call you pastor, and they tell you everything. They say, well, pastor, I didn't have a name. It's just pastor. Pastor, the woman who was in there was suicidal. She was angry, and she was in pain. Your family, you're always here. She had no one. We asked her if we could call her family. And she said, my family kicked me out years ago. They hate me, and I hate them. I don't know this woman's name. But we're going to call her Harriet. There are Harriets and Harrys all around us, my friends, who have no one to shine the light of Jesus into their lives. They're in hospital rooms and prison cells and conference rooms and school rooms and living rooms. Maybe the living room right next door to you. Maybe even your own living room. And Jesus gives us, to use one of your favorite words, the awesome opportunity to be His light in their darkness. And counterintuitively, what happens is, the more we give our light, the more our light grows in us. This is what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. He says, if you just do what I ask you to do and love others as I love you, Jesus says, I'm going to come live in you and your joy will be so complete, it'll be overflowing into the world. This is the secret of Miss Clara. You remember? She prayed every day for Jesus to send her someone for whom she could be the light of Jesus, to give them His love and His word and His promises of abundant and eternal life. And time after time, Jesus answered her prayer, and she answered Him, thank you, Jesus. And when you're ready, send me one more. And that is how an always compassionate heart can begin to grow in you. But it doesn't grow until we receive and believe the most powerful motivator to move us to have a passionate heart. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they will see the good in you and they will glorify God, which means to give their life to God through Jesus Christ. You see, when you shine the light of Jesus' love and words and promise into someone's life, they say, hey, I want that. I want that. I want what you've got, Niall. I want what you've got, Bob. What is it about you that offers to give this love and this light and this goodness? And we say, let me tell you about Jesus. And so what happens when they hear us and see us then they, Jesus says, will give their lives to God someday. And Jesus' light will spread the more. And Jesus says to us this morning, it is so essential that we embrace this for our lives because there's someone trying to keep us in darkness. Jesus calls him the Prince of Darkness, the devil, Satan. And what he's trying to do is to keep everyone in darkness. And Jesus says the only hope to win over him is you, to be the light to the world, to be the light in your life. And so Jesus is going to give you a picture this morning you will never forget. I'm going to give you some words, and of course I'm going to give it for you to go take with you in case you might forget. But you're not going to forget this. So here's the picture. How many of you in here are women? Raise your hand. Okay, that's good. So you women, listen up. Jesus has a picture of the person that he calls you to be every day and to live every day. And here's what Jesus wants you to remember: to be the kind of woman, when your feet hit the ground, the devil says, "Oh no, she's up." Yeah, man. By the way, the original version of that is not "oh no," but I've just cleaned it up for you guys. You can fill in the blanks. So how many of you here are men? Raise your hand, men. Come on. Okay. So here's what Jesus says to you. Here's how I want you to start every day. Here's how I want you to live every day, to be the kind of man that when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says,
"Oh no,
he's up. Oh no, he's up." I hope that is your life. Because he sees you are a threat to him. And if that's what you want for your life, then Jesus wants to use you to bring about victory over the Prince of Darkness. I'm going to close with a model for you. It began when a pastor in Baltimore put on the marquee the title of his next message, which was, "The member of this church I would most like to see in hell." Needless to say, the next Sunday the place was full. all the Easter and Christmas Christians were there, and a whole bunch of Baptists, because this was their sweet spot. Right? All been Baptists, y'all know about this. So he gets up there, and they were shocked when he begins this way. "The person in this church that I want to see most in hell is a woman, and her name is Sheila O'Rourke." Sheila O'Rourke, this elderly retired teacher who everybody thought was this wonderful, committed Christian, or so they thought. The pastor continued, "Well, 27 years ago, Johns Hopkins University did a study. They had worked for the school system, a high school, and they identified 200 young men who lived in a troubled neighborhood. Crime infested, drug infested, poverty infested. They had troubled home lives. They struggled in school. And then they formed a task force to say, what do you think is going to happen to these 200 young men? The task force, made of a bunch of experts, said that 97% of them will spend time in prison. Pretty good guess. 25 years later, they reformed the task force. They tried to find these young men who were not young anymore. And amazingly, they found 180. But even more amazing, what they found is that out of those 180, only 12 had been in prison. And so they interviewed these men and found out why that was. And to a man, they said that some influence saved them and turned their lives around in the right direction, and that influence for every one of these remaining 153 men was Sheila O'Rourke. So they interviewed Sheila, and the pastor did as well, and she smiled and said, "I guess I could have been fired for this. But I couldn't keep the light of Jesus to myself, so I met not just these young men, but others who struggled. And I told them how much Jesus loved them, how precious they were to Jesus. And I told them that if they would let Jesus govern their lives and run their lives and trust their lives to him, he would do something unexpectedly wonderful in their lives. I prayed with them and I prayed for them every day. And I said to them, now, if you'll just trust Jesus as your Savior, He's going to do some wonderful things in your life. And she concluded, they did, and He did. And the pastor concluded, so that's why I want to see Sheila O'Rourke in hell. When Sheila O'Rourke goes to hell, she's not going to keep that light under a bowl. Her light's going to shine in the face of the Prince of Darkness. And the people are going to see the good in her. And see how the word of Jesus Christ changes your life. And see the promise that He makes of abundant and eternal life in heaven, not in hell. And in 3 weeks, hell will be empty. Can you be the kind of woman, the kind of man, when your feet hit the floor in the morning, the devil says, oh no, they're up. They're going to win the victory over the darkness that I won in their lives. If you will do that, my friend, every day your life is going to be full and overflowing with passion. And that chance, that unique chance that you have to shine the light in the face of the Prince of Darkness and throw him out the door. Bring Jesus in. And now our band is going to move our hearts to do just that. You know?
To go, we will answer. We will. because it is Jesus who called, and if we believe, He loves me.
There is work to do. miss the joy of a relationship with Him, and whether they are destined for eternity with Him or doomed to spend it separated from Him. It takes a sharing the simple story of who Jesus was and why He came. It requires only to tell what He has done in our lives and what He wants to do for every man, woman, boy, and girl. Who will answer the call today?
Shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. Give the word of hope to the nations, a word
kingdom come.